From Genetic Engineering News, the most widely read publication in biotechnology, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week, Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling talks to Lou Kotnick from Amgen about counterfeit pharmaceuticals.
Lou Kotnick is Director of Brand Protection and Business Continuity at Amgen, one of the true pioneering biotechnology companies. His job is to lead Amgen's effort against counterfeit pharmaceuticals and biologics. A former principal and founder of Reconnaissance International, an anti-counterfeiting consulting firm, Lou is also co-author of the book Counterfeiting Exposed, Protecting Your Brand and Customers, published by Wiley. Lou, how do you define a counterfeit drug?
We use the definition that is included in the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act that in brief says that a drug which, without authorization of the manufacturer, bears the trademark or trade name of that manufacturer is a counterfeit. So really what we're talking about is counterfeits trick patients and the channel into believing that a fake is real. Because fakes do not have the regulatory support, NDA, GMP controls that real drugs do. You don't know whether it's safe or whether they'll work. But counterfeiting is only a part of the problem as we see it. There are shady practices that make the insertion of counterfeits into the channel really the way in which counterfeits reach patients. So when we're thinking about counterfeits, we're also thinking about diversion and internet sales, smuggling, et cetera.
Okay, now just how big a problem are counterfeit drugs in terms of the cost to the pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare system itself?
John, the basic problem is that counterfeiters don't report. So we really don't know how big a problem it is. The World Health Organization is attributed as having said it's a 10% problem. And the Pharmaceutical Security Institute, in its 2005 situation report, indicated that there were 781 incidents of counterfeiting worldwide in 2005, as against 557 in 2004. But the real issue is not the cost of counterfeits, it's the risk to the patients and to the public health. Let me give you an example. Recently, the World Health Organization, in one of its anti-malarial programs in Southeast Asia, began seeing a signal that indicated that there was a disease, or rather an antibiotic-resistant strain of the disease. When they did the analysis, what they found out was that because the counterfeiting rates of the anti-malarial were on the order of 30% that really what they were picking up was an artifact caused by patients taking placebo that didn't work. So the counterfeit issue can be a very important issue to the entire healthcare system.
Okay, now in which countries are counterfeit drugs more of a problem, and why is that the case in those countries?
The pharmaceutical, going back to the Pharmaceutical Security Institute report, of the 781 counterfeiting incidents last year, they indicate that there were 155 in China, 96 in Russia, South Korea, Peru, and the United States, interestingly, rounded out the top five, with the United States having 54 different incidents. Counterfeiting is a crime of greed, so the United States and Europe are targets because of our pharmaceutical use and relatively richness as countries. Asia and South America are targeted because it's easy to scam, relatively easy to scam the system there with weak enforcement and not as well-developed distribution systems.
Now, what has the FDA done to combat this problem of counterfeit drugs?
FDA has played a leadership role, really in the face of conflicting messages sometime from Congress. In 2004, they issued a report which was followed up on last May by an additional report. And as I understand it, the agency is about to release any day its third major report on this issue. It's held a number of workshops and worked with industry in a variety of different ways. And for people interested in that, they should go to the website www.fda.gov and click on the counterfeiting button. There's another really important set of activities that FDA and the states have been pursuing, and that is disrupting, arresting, and convicting counterfeiters. Just yesterday, as a matter of fact, Tom Martino, a ringleader of one of the large Florida counterfeiting syndicates, was sentenced to 21 years in jail for counterfeiting drugs, actually some drugs, counterfeiting some of our drugs as well. And there was another report just recently, May 24th, a pharmacist, James George, was convicted for importing fake Viagra and Cialis from China. His sentencing is July 5th.
Okay, now from the business perspective, the industrial side, how about companies like Amgen and other pharmaceutical firms? What are you doing to deal with this issue?
Amgen takes the issue of counterfeit drugs very seriously. We're committed to the highest standard in the quality of our drugs and in protecting the safety of our patients. We think that there are three critical objectives that we have to pursue. We have to know whether we're being attacked. We have to detect those attacks. Once we identify that an attack is taking place, we need to be able to disrupt it effectively and promptly. And in the first instance, we need to be able to deter those attacks. Let me give you a couple of examples of what Amgen is doing to detect, deter, and disrupt criminal counterfeiters. We use sophisticated technologies to hamper the ability of counterfeiters to create packages that are too similar or resemble Amgen's packaging. We go ahead and require that our drug wholesalers sign as part of the contract that they buy our products only from us. We don't allow third-party purchasing, and we audit our wholesalers to ensure that they comply with the requirements. We also partner with federal agencies, the Food and Drug Administration, and state law enforcement agencies to assist in disrupting counterfeiters and prosecuting them to the fullest extent of the law. And we work with our industry partners to advocate for better laws and stronger enforcement.
Okay, so now you hinted at this a bit in just answering that question, but which specific technologies have proven most useful in the battle against counterfeit drugs?
We use a system of overt, covert, and forensic product security features that are really designed to empower different parts of the supply chain and affiliated organizations to detect fakes and to deter counterfeiters. For example, we have overt features on our packaging. Those overt features are easily recognized by patients, medical staff, and pharmacists so that it gives them an assurance of the real and helps them detect if there is a fake. On the other hand, in the channel, we use covert markings on the same packages to go ahead and empower, say, our wholesalers or our returns collection to be able to identify and differentiate real from fake. I want to make one comment about RFID in particular. There are a number of advocates that are proposing RFID or radio frequency identification as an anti-counterfeiting tool. Amgen believes that RFID has a tremendous amount of promise, but we oppose and have filed comments with the FDA on this. We oppose regulatory requirements that would require its use immediately. And let me tell you why. Our products are biotech products. They're largely liquid products with metal ferrules and needles. It turns out that the RFID systems do not read well in the presence of liquids and metals. That's not as true for dry products. There's another concern as well. There's uncertainty right now whether there might be stability effects from the irradiation used in those systems, and it may actually affect the quality of the products. We don't know that, and in fact, we don't have from the FDA at this point an effective, well-defined protocol for testing out that question. and there's standards and business practices that are not yet well defined. So requiring RFID in the near term for biologics, we think, is premature.
Okay, now again, this sort of hints at my next question, which is, what are the regulatory challenges that are going to result from the addition of anti-counterfeiting technology to labeling, packaging, or the actual delivered dosage of drugs?
Yeah, now every company has to make its own judgments about what technologies to use and how to deploy them, but there are technologies, I believe, that can be used that don't pose the same kinds of problems that at least we think exist today with RFID. But there are other challenges, and challenges that I think bear mentioning. Probably the biggest one right now is the emerging set of patchwork regulations related to pedigree. Pedigree really means traceability of medicines from the manufacturer to the dispenser through the distribution chain. There has been an opportunity for the FDA to have regulation in that area since 1987, but for a variety of reasons, those regulations have never come into effect. So in the vacuum that's been left, states have begun to adopt their own regulations. Florida, for example, has a sort of paper-based system that has been adapted for use in an electronic situation that has rather extensive rules. And wholesalers are required, beginning July 1, to use that pedigree system for all prescription medicines in Florida. California, on the other hand, has an electronic pedigree system that forbids the use of paper, has very limited legislative instructions, and no implementing rules. It comes into effect 6 months later, that is January 07. There are more than a dozen other states that have adopted different laws and others working on yet different laws. So there's a real challenge here in that there's this patchwork of sometimes inconsistent and certainly not uniform pedigree requirements. And for manufacturers and for the distribution system, in fact, the challenge is effective distribution in a high-quality way of medicines to patients. So being confronted by that patchwork of confusing regulations and non-uniformity actually is a challenge today.
I see. So my final question is there a long-term solution, or are they going to be sort of a package of solutions to the counterfeit drug problem?
Well, I think that goes back to the basic question of what is the basis of counterfeiting. And counterfeiting is a crime. It's a crime of greed by criminals. And so far we haven't figured out how to correct that problem in society or humanity. So criminals are probably going to be there. What I recommend is really that there are several steps that companies in the industry need to take. First off, companies have to build effective internal systems. Without internal systems and without effective external understanding, there's really no way for companies to move forward effectively. And then companies should work together. This is an industry problem and a global problem. There are traditional trade associations in pharma and bio in particular that are now quite active in this area, and their membership is quite active. There are also specialized organizations, and I've mentioned the Pharmaceutical Security Institute as one. Another that might be of interest to some people is the Partnership for Safe Medicines, www.safemedicines.org. That's a portal for information on this. And I think that companies working together need to work for stronger, more effective laws, which really includes a robust framework for licensing of wholesalers. So I don't know that we can ever eliminate the problem, but I think that we're coming together to confront it more effectively.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, be sure to visit our website at www.genengnews.com. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus, saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next Thursday.